Many of you are familiar with the saying, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You ever heard of that? I have. I know it's been around a long time. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. I think it's based on Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That verse is a great encouragement. It truly is. It's very meaningful. It's wonderful to know that God has plans for you. But if you're like most people, sometimes you've wondered, what are those plans? I wish he'd let me in on it. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? What kind of school should I pursue? What kind of education? Who should I spend the rest of my life with, if I should? And maybe what city should I live in? And then there's other maybe not so big questions like, what car should I buy? Or what house should I live in? Or, you know, should we live in this part of town or that part of town? And it seems like we have so many questions. It seems like we have so many decisions to make, and we wonder, what does God want from me? What does God want me to do with my life? What direction does it need to take? And how do I decide? The big question behind all of these questions really is, what is God's will for my life? Sometimes it's easier to begin by saying what is not the case. Sometimes it's easier to state what we know is not God's will. For example, if your neighbor clips your car as he's backing out of his driveway and bangs into yours and denies that he had done it, it is not the will of God for you to take a rock and throw it through his window. Okay? It's not. Or if you're trying to start a business, it is not the will of God for you to steal money in order to be able to start your own business. It's not. Or if you're in love with someone, it's not in God's will for you to live together before marriage. It's not. We already know many of the things that are not in God's will. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to question that. We know what is not. The question is, what is God's will? There are many other questions where the Bible isn't so clear. Should I go off to college? Or should I go to work? Should I get married? And if so, to whom? Should I pursue a particular career? And if so, where? Do I buy a new car or a used car? And which one? Do I buy a house or do I rent a place? Like, what's the best thing to do? What is God's will for me in these things? And sometimes there doesn't seem to be direct answers. And oftentimes there isn't any biblical answer to these questions. The Bible isn't going to tell you whether you should buy a Ford or a Honda, no matter what jokes you could make about it. There doesn't seem to be answers to some of those questions. And so we pray, as we should. We pray. We should always pray. And sometimes God guides us through those times of prayer, and it becomes clear. And sometimes it's very obvious that God is opening some doors and closing some other doors, and it becomes very obvious what God's will is for us. But other times it seems like God is playing hide and seek with us. He's not making things very clear, and we wonder, should I this or should I that? And what is God's will for my life? We make it our pursuit to know the will of God. That's what I want. Or to find God's will as if it was lost. Sometimes people go to extremes, fearful that if they get it wrong, they will have sinned and missed God's best for them, and they are doomed for the rest of their days if they miss God's will. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, it does give us a little bit of guidance on God's will. It says, "The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." That's an interesting statement, an interesting verse, because it makes three things very clear. First of all, that God does have a will. Whoever does the will of God. There is such a thing as the will of God. It does exist. It is there. Secondly, it says that it is possible to miss it. It is possible to go around it. It is possible to go contrary to the will of God, because it says, it's implied, whoever does the will of God. So it stands to reason that there are some who do not do the will of God. So it is possible to miss it or go around it. And the third thing that this verse kind of points out is that the consequences are serious. They are severe. Whoever does the will of God lives forever. And by extension, you can see what happens for those who go around the will of God. And really, I like to think of it in terms of doing God's will or going around God's will. So what is God's will? Well, I'm going to try to help deal with that question this morning. And we're going to turn and look. We're going to look at three verses. The first one being in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. What is God's will? It says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now, we could spend weeks. We can do a whole series on this verse. What does it mean to be sanctified and unpack all of that? But just to make it short, what it's saying there is it's God's will that we live our lives set apart for Him. It is God's will that we bring glory and honor to Him. It is God's will that we abstain from selfishness and gossip and immorality and etc., etc. It is God's will that we do good to those that we can. It is God's will that we live at peace with those that we can, as much as it depends upon you, and goes on and on. We could understand that. This is what it is to live in God's will. That you should be sanctified, that you should live your life set apart to the Lord, to God. It is God's will to live our lives for Him. Along those lines, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version. It says this, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So when we look at what is God's will, we know, first of all, it's God's will that we live our lives that is pleasing to Him, that are set apart to Him, that are sanctified. And then we also see that it is God's will that we live our lives in a way that we are not conforming to this world. And really, the two parts go together. Being set apart for God implies really that we are not conforming to the pattern, to the ways of the world. This is the will of God. That we live our lives, our whole lives, in a way that brings honor to the Lord, not just, of course, Sunday morning lives. And the third verse I want to look at is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, where it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And again, we can look at this whole concept of what it means to live a life of thanksgiving. We could spend a couple of weeks on that quite easily. But suffice it to say for now that it is God's will that we are people who recognize the authority and the sovereignty of God. To live lives of thanksgiving means to live lives that recognize that God is the author of life, the owner of our lives, the giver of our life, and he has our lives in his hands, in his control. That's why we offer thanksgiving. Give thanks in all circumstances to trust him. That's what it says. To trust him. How else are you going to give thanks in circumstances that are difficult? It doesn't compute normally. It is the will of God that we trust him. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God. We wonder, what is the will of God? That's it. To live our lives pleasing to him, serving him. To live our lives not conforming to the ways of the world. To live our lives trusting him, giving thanks to him. Knowing that he is God. That he is in control. That our lives are in his hands. This is what it means to follow the will of God. I don't think it's so much that as followers of Christ that we need to be afraid that we're going to miss God's will, as much as if we're not careful, we might go around it. We might try to bypass some parts of it. But his will is clear. To live our lives set apart for him. That we don't conform to this world. That we live our lives trusting him in every aspect. Those are the important things. There are still some questions we have. Does God want me to be a carpenter or a musician? Well, I don't know. Are you good with a hammer or are you good with a fiddle? You know, like, which one is it? Unless in some rare circumstances God tells you specifically what he wants you to do as a profession, then whether you're a plumber or a bookkeeper, if you're living your life set apart for him, if you're living your life not conforming to the standards and patterns of this world, and you know, the world has its way. It's very clear. The world has its way of how it does things. And we're to not conform to that. And I have to say, it's as a church, as Christians, as the body of Christ, we need to be careful. Somebody has said, what's the difference between Christians and non-Christians? And the sad answer has been about 10 years. Meaning that what the non-Christians would do, 10 years later, the Christians would do. They would slowly conform to that. And we need to be careful about that. We need to guard against that. What God said, what God's word says, is true regardless of what the world wants to put in front of us. So it's important. Live our lives set apart for him, not conforming to the world, instead trusting the Lord in all things. And if we do that, whether you're a carpenter or a plumber or a musician or an architect or a whatever else, it's not nearly as important. Oh yeah, it has meaning, of course, but you're not going to miss God's will, whichever one of those choices you make. Similarly, you might ask, you know, a lot of young people ask and wonder, you know, who does God want me to marry? Good question. We start with the Bible. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked. In other words, a Christian is to marry a Christian. So the first question we need to ask is the person, if you're a Christian, then is the person you are pursuing a relationship a Christian? Will this relationship bring honor to the Lord? Will it bring glory to the Lord? And the way to really answer that is to ask, is the relationship bringing honor and glory to the Lord now? Will we be able to glorify God through our marriage? The Bible also talks about pouring yourself out to the person you are marrying. We talked about that yesterday at the wedding here. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for her. Are you ready to do that? If the answer is yes, then it is very possible that it is within God's will that you marry a particular person. Of course, there's more to it than that. Just because it's within God's will for you to marry a particular person, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the person you should marry. It could also be within God's will for you to marry some other person instead. In other words, and please don't get offended at this, I know some have very sensitive feelings on this, so maybe I'll ask it as a question instead. Is it even possible that it is within God's will whether you marry one person or another? In other words, is there just one person in the entire world that God has personally handpicked for you? And if you miss that, you've blown it. Could it be? And again, I'm just posing the question here. And I think I know what the answer is, but I'll let you answer it. Could it be that God leaves you some wiggle room? Could it be that God doesn't have one person in the whole world picked out for you, and that if you don't find that one person, you're going to be miserable for the rest of your life? That's dangerous thinking, to be honest with you, because frankly, I think that's why sometimes there's as much divorce as there is people think, oh, I'm not happy. Oh, this must not have been God's will for my life. And so they look for another relationship. That's not how it works. Don't get me wrong at all. I'm not suggesting your spouse isn't a gift from God. He or she most certainly is a gift from God. Guaranteed. But he or she is a gift, God's gift to you, because they belong to God. But you still get to choose. So likewise, could it be possible that God is equally pleased if you live in Whitehorse or New York? Now, I couldn't be pleased living in New York, but you know, what is God's will? God can work through your life wherever you're living, whatever you're doing. If you are living your life set apart for Him, if you're making sure you're not conforming to the world, and you're trusting Him, then whether you go here or there, or do this or that, God is pleased. You are within God's will. Unless He gives some very, very clear and specific instruction otherwise, which He sometimes does. And in those cases, you don't have to worry about missing God's will. Because when God is that specific and determined, He has a way of making it work. I mean, just ask our friend Jonah, right? He tried to miss God's will. God had a specific will for him, and he tried to go around it and take a detour, and didn't work that well. When God has a specific will for you, he'll see through that that works out. On the one hand, we can say God's will is very narrow. He's given us the Ten Commandments. He has given us many other instructions to live by. We know these to be God's will for us. It's narrow. It's determined. It is in God's Word. God's Word is where we need to go to first. We know it. For example, it is God's will that I remain faithful to my wife, whom I love dearly, who is a gift from God to me. It is God's will that I remain faithful to her all the days of my life. That's God's will. I don't need to wonder about that. I don't need to ask. No question about it. If anything is against the word of God, then it's against the will of God. It's narrow. At the same time, God's will is also very broad. In other words, he doesn't necessarily have every specific detail mapped out, and if we don't do it exactly 100% right on target, the right place, the right time, we're doomed to misery and failure. I don't think so. God does give us plenty of room to maneuver within his will, as long as we stay within the boundaries that he has already established according to his word and his will, that we live our lives separated unto him, sanctified, that we make sure by God's grace that we don't conform to the patterns of this world, and that we live our lives trusting him full of thanksgiving. If we can do that, if we can focus on those things, we don't need to worry about anything else. We don't need to be anxious about anything else. If there's something that God wants specifically, he'll make that clear. He'll lead you. In the meantime, be focused on living your life set apart, avoiding the conformity to the world, and trusting in him. This is God's will for your life and mine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, it is very natural for us to ask a lot of questions. It'd be easy for us if you just sent down a note and said, Norm, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is how I want you to do it. And sometimes you do that sort of thing. But Lord, a lot of other times you leave us room to sort things out. And Father God, I pray that you would help us to conform to the will of God that we do know, to live our lives sanctified, set apart, to avoid conforming to the world, and to put our trust in you. Lord, may it be so in our hearts, and where we have struggled in the past, I pray, Father God, that you would give us victory in the present and in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.